Cape Talk.
Join the conversation. And now,
Consumer Talk with Wendy Nola.
It is time for Consumer Talk with Wendy Nola. And today on Consumer Talk, we'll be discussing one of the most misunderstood aspects of the Consumer Protection Act, the right of return. How's your experience been with returning goods in Cape Town? I always feel that when you arrive at a desk or return something and announce, I'm going to be giving this back, you feel guilty and you're kind of taken away to a back desk, and then you get escorted with your goods to another room, and then a manager's called, and you have to feel really guilty about returning something that probably isn't right, or, you know, you changed your mind, whatever the reason. I'd like to hear from you on 072-567-1567. Call us on 021-446 to speak to Wendy. Hi, Wendy. Welcome back.
Hello, Bianca. Good to be with you.
Do you know what? Did you hear what I said about feeling guilty? I mean, do you know that that's how you? I don't know if that's a South African thing, or you know, because when I was living in London, I didn't have that feeling. I felt like you went to the desk, you gave it back because you changed your mind, and they would whip it away as if it didn't happen. But here, we have to feel guilty.
I don't know about that. What I do know is that the Consumer Protection Act, which has been in force for nearly 10 years now, in April of 2021, it'll be 10 years, has created a lot of confusion, because it does give us a lot of rights to return things that are defective within 6 months of our buying them. But it doesn't give us any right of return at all if the product is not to our liking. So, you know, it's perfectly good, but it doesn't fit right. Or
exactly.
We got home and found that someone else bought us the same thing, so we don't want it, or we found it cheaper somewhere else. We have no right of return. And actually, that's the same in London and anywhere around the world. There's no legal compulsion for retailers to take back goods if there isn't something wrong with them. It's different with online, but we're talking about traditional sales in store. So companies have the right to come up with their own returns policies for change of hearts, as they call them, as a customer service, right?
Right.
But it's not a legal obligation. So people assume it is, because I think the CPA is, you know, we have the CPA now, and you are forced to give me a refund. No, actually, they're not forced to take it back at all. If they offer you a credit note or an exchange, that's actually technically doing you a favor. And I explain this several times a week still, nearly 10 years on. So it is a little confusing, because I don't think the stores themselves do enough to explain that in their returns policies that they have in their signs, you know, on the walls, on the counters, and online, you know, on their websites. And it just, this confusion just perpetuates. So we've got my two most common queries are from people who think that their rights were denied for non-defective returns when they had no rights in the first place. And secondly, where people returned defective goods and then were then told, no, you have no right to return it because of this and this and this, when in fact they had every right. So it's just a whole mush of misunderstandings and misinterpretations, either deliberately or accidentally, on the part of both consumers and the people, you know, that are mandated to deal with customers and their returns queries. So yeah, it's never a dull moment. On any given day, you know, there's a huge chunk of my inbox that is
about returns
that highlights these misunderstandings. Yeah.
What about quality? Do you have a right?
Well, yes. So that's a somewhat grey area. What the Act says is that we have the right to expect good quality products. For products to be fit for purpose, and that's intended purpose. So if we misuse a product, then obviously that's on us. We have a right to expect products to be fit for their intended purpose for at least 6 months. Any product, doesn't matter how cheap, doesn't matter if it's on sale. Unless a particular defect is pointed out, you agree to it, you sign for it. Ideally, you obviously can't go back within 6 months and say, there's this product, when you agreed to buy the product at a lower price because of that defect. But if something is just on a general sale, you're full right to return it if it proves to be defective in some way within 6 months stands. And that's another common way that retailers deprive people on their CPA rights and say, well, you bought it on a sale. Or, and I gave you a few examples and I'll prep, when it's a cheap product, what did you expect? Well, somebody ever says that to you, what you should say is, I expect my legal right, and that is that it functions as it should, you know, good quality, as you claim it will, for at least 6 months. From the seventh month, if there's no further warranty from the supplier, that's the end of your rights. It's just sorry for you if it breaks. But if it does have a warranty, then at that point, you can't insist on a refund. You have to go with whatever they want to do, which in most cases would be a repair, because that's cheapest and easiest for the supplier.
So 6 months.
But the first six months are golden. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's the time span that you are entitled to the quality.
Any product.
Right. Yeah.
From a car to a toaster, it's 6 months, which, you know, many people have argued is unfair, but the legislators didn't have different categories of consumer goods. It's 6 months across the board. That's how it is. Very problematic category is shoes, because it then often becomes, well, you walked through a puddle, or you're hard on shoes, or you must have scuffed that on a stair or something like that. Shoes are really problematic. But yeah, so I've had to adjudicate or attempt to adjudicate, mediate on a lot of those, sort of try and get the photos sent to experts and say, you know, well, look, the sole is pulling away. How can that be misuse unless they, you know, really did walk through puddles for 8 hours solid or something like that? So, yeah, it is often quite a murky area with certain products where, you know, is it fair wear and tear, or was it, did you abuse it in some way, or was it inherently defective and that it was so cheaply, poorly made that it was never going to last for 6 months.
During lockdown, where people aren't going into changing rooms to try things on, I don't think it's allowed under the protocol. Are people taking things home and returning more freely? Is this something that have you seen a lot of cases like this?
I've seen, yeah, in the beginning, there was quite a few retailers, big ones, Woolworths included, which are normally very good with, you know, customer refund policies. They did the double whammy. They said you can't try anything on because of the risks, and you can't bring them back either until after lockdown. And this was, do you remember how many of us just rushed to buy winter basics because we entered a lockdown, it was still summer, and then
yes,
gradually
that no open toe shoes were allowed. I remember that.
Yes, there was that was the one odd one. But
yeah,
we suddenly wanted to buy winter pajamas or polo necks or whatever.
Yes.
And we couldn't try them on. So then the double whammy was that Woolworths and others then said, you know, you can't bring them back either. And I remember writing about this and speaking to the ombud, and it wasn't, you couldn't have both. So very quickly, the stores then revised their policy and said, okay, you can try this goods on. Oh, no, sorry, you may not try on in store, but you may bring back. And then they obviously introduced sanitizing protocols and whatever to comply with the necessary COVID-19 protection protocols. Yeah. So I haven't had a complaint for months where somebody was, A, not allowed to try on, and B, then once they tried on at home, not allowed to bring back. But it did lead to some interesting emails that I received from people who said, you know, going to buy winter boots, they couldn't try it on in store. So they'd literally go and sit in their car, go to the public loo and try them on there. And, you know, they said, you know, we stop shopping once a week. We're trying not to leave the house.
Or come back.
And have to make that second trip. So it did lead to, and this is completely unprecedented, as we keep saying,
yeah,
but it did give rise to some quite bizarre things. But no, I think that element was sorted out fairly quickly when the practicalities of it and the denial of, on if not consumer rights, well, certainly, well, actually it was a denial of consumer rights, because you can't deny the a shopper the right to try something on and then say, if it doesn't fit, you can't bring it back. So that was, I mean, I think the retailers got that pretty quickly, and there was quite an outrage on social media, and that was fixed. So thankfully, that's, as far as I can tell,
it's
the end of that.
It's been sorted out through trial and error. It is Wendy Nola talking about the right of return. If you would like to ask her a question, you can call us on 021-446-0567, and that is what Niall has done in Hout Bay. Welcome to the show. What is your question for Wendy?
Thank you. Wendy, if I buy an item from a store like Clicks, let's say it's a toaster, and it is defective, and it's within the six-month period, I've had them insist that I go and find the original box that came in and return it in the box. Now, there are two things there. The one is it just seems ridiculous to have to store all of these boxes in case you want to return them. But secondly, they could just simply take another iron or toaster out of the box and put my one into that box, and we're all happy. Can they insist on the box?
Good question.
It is an excellent question. Mm. It was one that I was planning to get to. So thank you very much, Niall, for that. It's a very common thing that consumers get told, and it has no legal standing. I've had it directly from the National Consumer Commission, the legal people, that is not a justified requirement. But it does become tricky. That is within the six-month golden, I call it the golden CPA period, where they cannot insist on the original packaging. However, remember just a short while ago I said from month seven, in some cases and usually with electronic or electrical goods, the manufacturer will then have the optional warranty kicks in and could be for another 6 months and usually 12 months. And at that point from month seven, they are entitled to introduce whatever terms and conditions they deem appropriate. So many will say there's a handling fee, for example, and almost all of them will say we need the box. So it's such a tricky one because I can't say to consumers, throw away the packaging. Who needs, you know, if you're living in a small place and you don't have a storage room or whatever, it becomes off. You know, what do you do with all these boxes? So if the fault happens in the first 6 months, that's fine. You don't need the box. But if it happens from month seven and there's a manufacturer's warranty, you will lose out if you can't produce the box. So that is the rather strange situation that we as consumers found ourselves in.
You've got to hang on to those boxes when you buy
it. Hang on to the boxes. Mm. Yeah, and if you've thrown away the box or you can't find the box and the product goes wrong in the first 6 months, just know that they can't say to you there is no recourse because you don't have the box. The only thing they can insist on is proof of purchase.
Here's a question on the WhatsApp line. I've taken out extended warranty on a certain electronic product. Are retailers allowed to offer that on other products besides electronics?
They're allowed to do whatever they will if you want to purchase it. I remember doing a case years ago of somebody who bought a bed from, on one of these credit installment agreements. And those are notoriously, they sell to the lower end of the market. They often will exploit a lack of understanding of how these things work. Just sort of sign here. Mm. And this poor man, the bed ended up costing three times what it would have cost if he'd paid in cash. And one of the many extras, you know, every warranty you can think of was added. And there was an extended warranty on the bed, which already came with about a 10-year warranty. And it cost quite a lot. And I remember, you know, commenting in my column at the time, you know, to sell an extended warranty on a product that already has such a long warranty and that has no moving parts, you know, is quite ridiculous. Extended warranties is a very big business. Worldwide consumer protection agencies will say that it's more to the benefit of those selling them than the consumer because the claims sort of the money that they get for these policies sold up front far outweighs any claims that there could possibly be, but by a country mile kind of thing. Of course, you know, if you're that person who's taken out, chosen to spend the extra upfront for the extended warranty, which is quite heavily marketed, promoted to you. And then you do have that appliance go wrong beyond the initial warranty period, beyond the 12 months. Then, I mean, obviously you're very, very happy to have taken that extended warranty. But so, yeah, obviously there are cases where it does pay off. But generally, even if you do have to claim, the repair then is far less than what you actually paid for that extended warranty upfront. And if you get it on some kind of agreement, don't forget you're paying interest on that as well. So, yeah, I certainly would say for non-electronic electrical goods, there's even less need
it's not worth
you to have that spent.
Yeah.
No.
Okay,
no,
we've
generally.
Got Henry in Constantia who has a question for you, Wendy. What is your question, Henry?
Hi, Wendy. Sorry, I want to try and make a long story short quickly. My wife bought me a coffee machine in Christmas last year, took it to my office, started giving us a few problems just before lockdown. Then came lockdown, and we were able to open the office again in June, 3 months later. And every time we make two cups in the morning, two in the afternoon, and when you make one in the evening, it starts giving problems. It feels like it wants to explode and a lot of steam coming out. I took it back to a very good, renowned retailer, told them the story, told them exactly how it works after a few cups of coffee every day. It then took them 6 weeks to come back to me after me calling them, saying the machine is now back and there's nothing wrong with it. I then asked for the technician company name, called them. They said, yes, they put one pod in and there was no problem. I then had a long chat to this guy and said, it happens after about five pods. He then said to me, they're going to get it back and look at it again. But sometimes the foil of the pod is too difficult for the machine to pierce through, but he's going to look at it again, and now it's 3 weeks later again. Unfortunately, we called him exactly an hour and a half after the 6 months expired. But anyway, that's the whole story.
Wow. Henry, that's very specific. An hour and a half. Did you check the time on your receipt? Was that the first time you phoned them?
We called the manager that my wife bought it from, and then I checked the receipt on my bank statements at the time that she purchased it in December.
I think that would be splitting hairs. If it's on the day, and don't forget the lockdown reality, this product was unavailable to you. There certainly should not be any question about the fact that this is a CPA warranty claim. It does sound as if they're at least willing to consider the possibility that testing with just one pod wasn't good enough, given the nature of your complaint, and that they're going to redo it. So, that's my two-part answer. Number one, it's definitely a CPA claim, and if it isn't, please email me, and I'll take it up with them. And number two, you're doing the right thing. You're saying you need to replicate the problem as I'm explaining it to you, and hopefully, as I say, the fact that they're willing to give it another bash is quite hopeful. So I hope it does get repaired. Or don't forget, you don't have to accept a repair. It's within 6 months, so you can choose a refund or a replacement if that's what you prefer.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel that they're trying to tell me that there is nothing wrong, although the technician guys are nice, which is an outside company apparently. But I'm definitely going to contact them, tell them what you said, and then see what happens. I just think the fact that it's been there for 9 weeks to me means they're trying to fix it. Somebody is.
No, but you must be very clear that you have the right to choose your remedy if you want a replacement or a refund. And what I suggest just quickly before we go to headlines is once you get it back, if it's still creating the same problem, videos are brilliant. If there's steam coming out and it's clearly misbehaving, if you capture it with your video on your phone, that really does speak a lot louder than the words.
Okay. Will do. Thank you very much, Wendy.
That's brilliant advice. Good. Thanks for your call, Henry. That's brilliant advice, to actually give in visual evidence of what is going on in the functionality.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Call now 021-446-0567.
Welcome back to the show. It is indeed Consumer Talk with Wendy Nola. Wendy, here's a WhatsApp that's come through for you. I bought a scented diffuser with bamboo sticks. They had no testers on the shelf. When I got home and uncorked it, it wasn't sealed shut. I couldn't stand the smell, the scent. Diffusers are expensive. I had the box in perfect condition. All that was needed was for me to recork it. I didn't notice in the store if the bottles weren't sealed. I was happy to return it and buy something else, but they refused. Is that reasonable?
I'm afraid it is. It would be like the same with perfume, although you can argue that there are testers, but you know, you do it quickly, you're just smelling the top notes, so then you get home and you try it, and by the time those top notes have gone, you're left with a base note that you really can't stand. Mm. It would be the same story. So if, look, as I said, there's no, that product is not defective. It's just not to her liking. So legally, there is no right of return with a product that's not defective. Her not liking the scent, and in fact, I had exactly the same experience. It's now sitting outside my front door until I figure out what to do with it. But her not liking the scent, me not liking the scent, it doesn't make it defective. It's just not to our liking. It's not the same thing as not fit for purpose. And then it becomes a matter of store discretion. Now, most stores, the bigger ones with a reputation that they like to uphold, the ones that like to be known for good customer service, will take back non-defective items. But there are two conditions. One is proof of purchase, so that they can prove that they know that they actually sold that product to you. And number two, that it's in a resaleable condition, which is only fair. So if the box is, if there's evidence that the box has been opened, there's a seal that's not, you know, that's been opened, or you've, you know, fiddled with you've actually opened it. There are people that, that like to sabotage products. Unfortunately, a very tiny percentage of consumers who do grim things like that. So they do have a right then to say, we can't in good conscience sell this product on. This is not a product that you would buy as a new product, so we're not going to take it back. And I think this situation falls into that category. So unfortunately, no. But I would say, though, most of the time that I've seen these products sold, there is a sample there where you can get a good idea of what it smells like, so that you know what you're buying before you outlay your money.
Yes.
I would certainly suggest that store does that, sacrifice one of their stocks at each of the fragrances, so that you don't, I mean, they're not all that inexpensive. You don't spend the money thinking you're going to fragrance room in a certain way and find out that you really, you know, can't bear it.
Yes.
So I think samples would be very appropriate if you're not going to take it back once it's been opened. You really should give the consumer an opportunity to sample in store.
Before the break, we were talking about repairing goods. If you accept a repair within the first 6 months and something happens when you take it again, take it home again, what are your rights?
Yes. It's a good question. So often people will write to me and say that because a lot of companies won't say to you if you take something back in the first 6 months, they won't say, oh, so sorry about this. Would you like a refund or would you prefer a repair or a replacement? They'll say, oh, sorry about this. We'll repair it for you, as I said, because it's the cheapest and easiest option for them. So you had to accept that before the CPA came into effect 9.5 years ago. Now you can say, actually, I'd prefer a refund or a replacement. But often when people write to me, they've let something be repaired because they didn't realize they had the right to say, no, actually, I don't want to have it repaired. I want a refund. They come to me when the product's broken a second time. And that's really, that's the time when I say to them, look, if for whatever reason, because you chose the repair, you can no longer get the item anymore, or you didn't know your rights and something is repaired, if it breaks again within 3 months, and this applies to any repair, you have the right, they can't re-repair it. They can't have a second bite at the repair cherry. So at that point, you have the right to choose between a refund and a replacement. So with something specifically a CPA repair where it's been repaired in those first 6 months, they only get one chance to repair. They cannot then say, you chose repairs and now we're going to keep repairing this. No, the Act says that if it breaks within 3 months of that repair, they cannot repair it again. You get to choose refund or replacement.
That's really good to know, really important.
It is good to know, and very, very few people do know that, so I like to repeat it.
Can you ever be denied a refund?
Well, you can if you can be denied all recourse if you can't produce your proof of payment. So please, very good reason to keep your proof of payment in whatever way works for you. There's some apps that will do it for you. You can have a drawer or a shoebox or a spike that you just shove things in, especially things of a certain, you know, you don't want to keep every Checkers or Pick and Pay slip, but you might want to keep the ones with appliances and that sort of thing. And this, the other reason would be if, especially with goods with moving parts, electronics, cell phones, laptops, etc., the retailer does have the right to send something off for technical assessment to rule out some form of user abuse. And it does happen that's, you know, you could drop something, it still looks all right, and then you take a chance and say it's not working. And they would obviously be able to. There would be signs of trauma once it was
being properly assessed.
If you caused it, if they come back to you and say there's clear signs of whatever, or the water damage or whatever, you didn't use this according to the instructions,
Right. Then
obviously why should they have to take responsibility for it? So those are the two most common reasons why
you would be denied, or else
if it's more than 6 months since you bought it, they can say it's out of, you know, it's not the CPA warranty anymore. We reserve the right now to, you have to accept a repair, and there's nothing you can do about it at that point from month 7.
Here, WhatsApp, kind of following on from that repair question. What if I accept a repair within the 6 months, but there's a new fault 6 to 12 months down the line?
Okay, so that's the scenario I just spoke about, but a very important clarification. It doesn't have to be the same fault.
Right.
So if it breaks, the Act actually says if it malfunctions, I think that's the word, again, within 3 months of that initial repair, in any way, it does not have to be a repeat of the initial problem. So thank you very much for that question. I should have clarified that. It's an important thing for consumers to know, because often at the returns counter they'll be told it's a new repair now, and now you're out of the warranty. If it's anything else breaks with that product within 3 months of the repair, they are liable. Just one thing to say about warranties, though, and it catches a lot of people, and I feel it's extremely unfair. I get it a lot around geysers and car batteries.
Right.
If your product breaks within the warranty period and you get it repaired, understand that the replacement product, it may be new, but it inherits the balance of the warranty of the original product. So you don't, the clock on that warranty period doesn't start ticking from the day you got the replacement product. It inherits. So if it malfunctioned after 5 months, the new one will only have a month's warranty if there's a 6 month warranty. Put it that way.
Oh.
Or if it malfunctioned, and a lot of people find that very unfair. The previous consumer goods and services ombudsman once explained it to me like this. He said, "Your spend on that product comes with a guarantee that you will get full use of it for 6 months or 12 months or whatever it is. So if you don't get that full use and they replace it, right?
Yeah.
The replacement then will only have a warranty of the remainder of the original one, so that they are guaranteeing you full use of the product or what's replacement for the warranty period. This usually applies when products are older than 6 months, because I think with the CPA warranty, you do get the full warranty you do get the full warranty from the replacement product, I think. Sorry, I need stand to be corrected. But certainly the queries that I get are on the products with the longer warranties where it's no longer CPA, but it's the car battery or the geyser or whatever, then you would most definitely not get a full warranty with the new product. And as I say, it's a very common query that I get in my inbox, with people not understanding that and thinking that the supplier must most definitely be ripping them off. But no, that is the case.
And you should never have to pay towards the repair either, handling fee or anything, right?
Not if it's in the first 6 months. From month seven, as I say, the suppliers, the manufacturers have the right to impose whatever conditions, terms and conditions they seem fair. Then it becomes a competitive issue.
Mm.
So certainly with geysers, as far as I'm aware, they are replaced at no cost to the consumer. That's certainly been my experience. Car batteries, same thing. But with other product categories, I know that certainly the case that they can say that there is some kind of admin fee or something. There shouldn't be, but the point is they have a right to impose whatever terms and conditions they deem appropriate. And this is why it's so important before you invest in any product from any retailer or manufacturer is to find out what the terms and conditions of their returns policies are. So that, and for me, that forms a very big part of the purchase price, because that after sales element. So I've been banging this drum for a very long time. Don't look beyond the price. Look at what their after sales policies are, because those are very valuable if something goes wrong.
Yeah, we often don't think that we're going to return it. We just kind of eager to get it home and start using it.
It's like, don't get married thinking you're going to get divorced, but you really should prepare for it.
Exactly.
That's what my line of work has taught me, I'm afraid. Sorry to sound like such a pessimist, but yeah, hope for the best and plan for the worst.
Just check that prenup.
That's right. How we survive, yes. Yeah.
Here's a WhatsApp. We bought a KitchenAid toaster 2 years ago. Within 6 months of buying it, there was a technical issue. It was taken back and repaired, which took a month. Then within warranty, the one side of the toaster stopped working. We alerted Yuppie Chief/KitchenAid. Oh, you think it's Chef?
Yuppie Chef,
KitchenAid, and they eventually arranged for it to be collected. We have just got a response more than a month later to say that even though we were under warranty, that part wasn't, and a quite for 3,000 rand, it would cost 3,000 rand to fix.
Yeah.
It's not even 2 years old and cost 8,000 rand when we bought it. Can we take this further and insist on a replacement? At this stage, we don't feel confident about repairs.
Okay, so the first question I would ask is, although it's a bit late now, she said after 6 months, I would say, was it about 6 months or was it within 6 months
she
of purchase?
She says within
first
6 months of buying it, there was a technical.
Okay.
And I think it was a KitchenAid, one of those KitchenAids.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes. So first 6 months, that's definitely belongs to the CPA, at which point she would have had the right to insist on a replacement or a refund and should most certainly have insisted on that. It's a perfect example of what I said a little earlier, Bianca, and that is often the retailer will say, or the supplier will say, oh, terribly sorry, we'll repair it for you. And if you don't know your rights within the first 6 months, you'll go with it, and you really shouldn't, unless you really love the product and you can't, there is no replacement.
Mm.
So that's the first, where the story first went wrong, is she should have asked for a replacement at that point. So it was repaired. And does the note say how long afterwards that repair failed or the product failed again?
Let me go back into the SMS. It took a month. There was a technical issue. It was taken back and repaired, which took a month. Then within warranty, the one side of the toaster stopped working, and we alerted Yuppie Chief KitchenAid, and they eventually arranged for it to be collected. We have just got a response.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, more than a month
so
later.
So if it was within 3 months, she doesn't say. She said within warranty. So it's not clear if that second problem with the one side not working happened within 3 months. And if it did, then she's most definitely entitled to a refund or a replacement now, even.
Mm.
None of that expensive repair. So I'm going to say, please email me. I'd like to look at that case because there certainly might be a case to argue for, a legal case to say, you never mind repairing it again at her cost. It's failed again within 3 months of that CPA repair. She's now entitled to a replacement or a repair, or a refund rather. So I really would like to look at that case. If the sender could please email me, I'll take it on.
If you could just tell her your email address. It's an anonymous WhatsApp, sure. So maybe just state your email address.
Okay, anonymous. It's consumer@nola, which is KNOWLER.co.za. And just put the KitchenAid warranty claim and it'll catch my eye.
Okay, thank you so much. I hope that helps, Anonymous. We have a call from Tony in Goodwood who has a question for you, Wendy. Welcome to the show, Tony. What's your question?
Hi, good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
Wendy, I just want to know, does this CPA rulings also cover the Chinese shops that...
Good question.
Okay, yeah. I hate saying this, but the reality is, and what my personal experience and that of many, many consumers out there has been, is that they don't consider themselves bound by the CPA at all. So it's pretty much a tatama chance. They're very good bargains to be had, but go in with your eyes wide open. I'm sure there are exceptions, but many of these China mall type setups around the country, they just go into, cheap. It was a cheap thing and no recourse. The law of the land applies to them. In that they are obliged to offer you full rights, CPA rights, as we've been speaking about. But in reality, getting recourse is very, very difficult. So the only thing, and nothing seems to be done by the authorities. So I would just say proceed with caution and know that if it breaks, you could very well be on your own.
Tony, you have another question for Wendy?
Yes. Yeah, Wendy, if you buy a television, most of them come out with two-prong plugs. And so that's really a three-prong plug country.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. What I normally do is I will just snip the plug off and put on my normal 16-amp three-point plug. But which I had the fortunate coincidence to have to return the television back to a company, quite a big company, and they just refused to take it back because they said I had damaged the product, even though I handed them the two-prong plug that I had taken off.
That's interesting.
Okay. Yes. Tony, thank you so much for that question. Both your questions, it makes me think you've actually read my show prep today because that was something I wanted to cover. Very interesting one. We have covered it on this show, but quite a couple of years ago, I think. Initially, what the Act says is obviously you would have no right to return something if you have modified it. And the consumer then, the previous Consumer Goods and Services Ombud, Neville Melville, initially put out an advisory saying if you change the plug, then you would have no recourse, exactly as your experience was, Tony. But subsequent to that, he actually came out and he spoke on the show. We had him on, and he said that has now been revised. Unless, and this is the current position with the Ombud, unless the defect, the malfunction of the product, in your case a TV, is directly linked to the changing of the plug. In other words, you'd rewired it wrongly or you somehow caused the problem through changing of the plug. Unless that's the case, if that's the case, obviously no recourse. But if not, they cannot refuse to deal with a screen malfunction or some other, the more common ways that TVs go wrong, just for the sole reason that you changed the plug. Absolutely not. So thank you very, very much for that question. I don't know if it's, if there's been too much water under the bridge now for you to go back to that retailer and say you shortchanged me there, you denied me my CPA rights, but that is the position.
Yeah, I don't know if he heard you there, but definitely.
Hope so.
Yeah, I hope he was listening online. Just tell me, Wendy, just before we go, because we haven't got much time, but what about online sales? We've had some questions and sale goods.
Okay, very quickly, and that's very important. different rules apply to a point with when you buy online, and I think it's important to just cover this, given that South Africa's experienced an incredible surge in online sales since lockdown for obvious reasons. So if you buy something online, clearly you haven't been given an opportunity to look, touch, feel the product to make sure it's what you want. So you get given the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act, ECTA, gives you a cooling off period of 7 days in which to change your mind. And here the product does not have to be defective for you to have a legal right to return it. The only proviso is that you can be made to pay to send the product back. So I had a case of Hertex, the decor people, yes. A company used to, always famous for its based in Belleville, famous for its annual rug sale. It was always a physical sale. This year, because of COVID, they did it online, and they just used the same T's and C's, which said you can't take it back. And somebody bought a rug that was a different color from what it appeared to be on screen. And when she tried to take it back, literally within an hour of delivery, they said, no, our T's and C's said you can't. So I took it up with Hertex, and they were very gracious and said, sorry, we're rookies at this online thing. We didn't realize we'll correct it. So, sorry, they said there was no return because it was on a sale. So even if it's on, even if you buy something on a sale, whether it's online or the traditional way, that you can't be denied your right to return it in the traditional way if it's defective. And in online, you can't be denied the right to return it because you don't like it anymore or whatever. If it was on a sale, it doesn't matter. The sale issue is immaterial. So I hope that clarifies the matter.
Thanks so much. It did. Thank you so much, Wendy. We'll catch up with you again next Wednesday. Have a good week.
Next week, indeed. Thanks, Bianca. You too. Bye now.
That was Wendy Nola. If you want to email her, you can email her at consumer@nola.co.za.